Media News. Support for today's broadcast comes from the City of Urbana, presenting Urbana's Market at the Square. The market opens at 7 a.m. featuring Illinois-grown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods and food, and original works of art at the corner of Illinois and Vine Streets in downtown Urbana. Information online at urbanaillinois.us/market.
An unsettled weather pattern will remain in place across the Midwest through tonight as several weather disturbances track across the region. Severe thunderstorms are possible this afternoon and evening from central Illinois east into Indiana when a low-pressure system moves through the state. Behind this system, northerly flow will bring cooler air into the region for the end of the work week. Highs today ranging from the mid-70s in southern Wisconsin to the mid-90s in southern Illinois and southern Missouri. Lows tonight dropping into the 50s and 60s across the Midwest. Partly sunny in Champaign-Urbana the rest of today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, the high around 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 50-50 chance of more showers and thunderstorms, the low 62. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance for more rain with the high just 75 degrees. Saturday's high about 78. Then Sunday and Monday, expect mostly cloudy skies with highs in the low 80s. Checking temperatures and conditions around the region at this hour. Partly cloudy skies, 86 in Decatur. It's clear in 79 in Danville. Partly cloudy, 78 in Bloomington in Indiana. In Indianapolis, mostly cloudy skies, 75 degrees. Clear in 79 in Terre Haute. At Willard Airport in Champaign, overcast skies, 82 degrees at the top of the hour. Winds out of the southwest at 8 miles per hour. The humidity 54% and the barometric pressure 29.87 inches and falling. And outside our studios on Friends Plaza, it's 86 degrees.
WILL programs are made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Illinois' prison system is in crisis. It was built to house 34,000 people. 48,000 are crowded in now. Conditions are deteriorating, and recently released inmates say it's not just unpleasant punishment, it's inhumane and abusive. The crisis has been brewing for a long time, invisible behind cement walls and wire fences. Over the last several months, the public radio station in Chicago, WBEZ, has been requesting visits to two minimum security facilities to see what taxpayers are getting for the $1 billion they spend each year on prisons. Governor Quinn's office has refused those requests. From WBEZ in Chicago, Robert Wildebohr reports.
When Jerome Suggs was sentenced for driving on a revoked license, he was sent to Vianna, a minimum security prison near the southernmost point in Illinois, about 350 miles from Chicago. Suggs was assigned to live on the third floor of a building, but there was absolutely no view.
When I moved up there, there was boards up on the windows, and I was just looking like, wow, you got what is this?
This was building 19. Suggs says there was not a single window letting in light. He says he was put in a large room with several hundred other men. All of the men were crowded onto bunks with nothing to do. There are 600 inmates in the building and only 7 showers and 7 toilets. And the toilets often broke and overflowed, resulting in a strong sewage smell.
The smell that came from the showers and it came into the living quarters. And yeah, that was just, I used to go to sleep with my pillow over my face. Smell was horrible, man.
When the weather turned hot, the boards came off the windows, but then the bugs could easily get in through windows that were broken. Suggs, who got out of Vianna just last month, says the place was also overrun with cockroaches, even in his bed.
Yes, on my bed. Yeah, I used to have to swat them off the bed. Yeah.
Okay, my name is Mayo, and I was incarcerated for 29 and a half continuous years.
Mayo, who asked that we use just his first name, was convicted in the early 1980s for committing armed robbery. For the last 3 years of his sentence, he was in Vianna and spent some of that time in the now notorious Building 19.
I thought to myself, this is supposed to be a minimum security institution, but this was more like a maximum security institution in that I couldn't believe that they would actually expect people to live under those type of conditions. And the place is infested with rats. And the rats were so aggressive, so numerous, that we used to call them kangaroo rats because quite a few guys had rats actually jump up in bed with them, you know.
Mayo says living in a room with 100 men, there was constant noise and chaos. He says there was always tension. Mayo says he knows prisoners aren't supposed to be coddled, but they're not supposed to be abused either.
Your punishment is the time you're doing, and you shouldn't be subjected to further punishment by being mistreated while you're there.
Okay, one last and quite disturbing example of life in Building 19. It comes from attorney Alan Mills at the Uptown People's Law Center in Chicago. Mills says a cockroach burrowed into the ear of an inmate while he slept, and it had to be surgically removed.
The wax in the ear is one of the things that roaches will eat.
Mills has talked to inmates at Vianna, but he hasn't actually been allowed to see the conditions for himself. But John Mackey has.
Building 19 was one of the most depressing things I've ever seen in my life. I just thought this is a human tragedy, you know, on a lot of levels. Part of me thought, what a real terrible way to spend taxpayer dollars.
Mackey is the executive director of the John Howard Association, a prison watchdog group.
There were just scores and scores of men just kind of walking around, almost like zombies. And when they saw us, you know, they kind of ran towards us. They didn't know who we were, but they knew we weren't the prison officials. And they started saying, why are you here? Are you here to help us? Do you see this? They're pointing to broken windows, birds' nests that were built because birds had come in through the broken windows, rodent droppings, cockroaches, exposed pipes with leaking fluid coming out of them, people who were sick because they couldn't get shelter from the cold. And it's something that'll always stay with me.
After reading Mackey's report on Vianna last winter, I submitted a request to the Department of Corrections to spend 2 days there and 2 days in another minimum security prison, Vandalia. Mackey's reports on the two prisons raise serious questions. I figured people in Illinois who pay for these places should know firsthand what goes on so they can be part of a smart public debate on what to do. Governor Pat Quinn has refused WBEZ's request. Our initial efforts to get inside were denied with one-line emails. Spokeswoman Brooke Anderson eventually had one 10-minute telephone conversation with me explaining their stand. She said I couldn't go in the prisons because it was a safety and security concern, and it would strain the department's resources. I was a little mystified as to how my visit would strain the resources of a billion-dollar department, but Anderson said if I visited a prison, then they'd have to let other reporters in, too. Anderson refused to talk about this on tape. Over the course of weeks, she said simply that she was too busy. Here's John Mackey again, the guy who does actually get into the prisons.
As the state's only nonpartisan prison watchdog, we believe that it's important that prison policy is made by informed decision makers. And it's really hard to have informed decision makers when there's no information. So I think it's critical for media to have access to prisons.
Mackey says he's proud of his group, but he's realistic about the fact that their reports reach a relatively small readership.
We have one staff person dedicated to 26, 27 prisons. So we do what we can, but there's no way we're enough. We definitely need people in the media to be educated, to be informed, to be able to report on what happens in our prisons.
Mackey has tremendous respect for the people running the prisons in Illinois. He says they've got an impossible job. They don't control who's sent to them. The courts do. And they don't control how much money they have. The governor and the legislature do. And Mackey also says Governor Quinn is trying to do some good things with prisons, closing TAM's Supermax and reinstating an early release program that will bring down the number of inmates in the system. But as a prison advocate, Mackey says he can't agree with Quinn's decision to keep WBEZ out of facilities.
Prisons are very closed places, and most of Illinois' prisons are very far from, say, the Chicago area. And it's easy to make decisions. It's easy to not think about how our laws actually affect people who are subject to them when we don't see them. And that's essentially what our prison system is. But again, as long as we're not able to see that, we can go on passing laws that have led us to where we are today, which is a system of built for about 34,000, but the houses more than 48,000.
Mackey says what happens inside prison is really important because most of the people, they're coming back out. Inmates are released every year in massive numbers. And Mackey points out that as a treatment option, prison is not cheap, about $20,000 a year per inmate.
You know, we all want to save money right now in Illinois. We have to. We're broke. But at the end of the day, there's a cost to housing more than 48,000 people. You can't cheat on that after a while. It comes to a point where it's like you can't cut costs anymore.
Mackey says the state has limited resources to run prisons, so choices have to be made. In order for the state to make smart choices, Mackey says Quinn can't keep the public in the dark about what really happens inside. I'm Robert Wildeboer.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features a variety of advertising items, name badges, plaques, and trophies. They can also design and create unique awards for any occasion. Trophy Time, they're more than just trophies. More information is available at 351-7958.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, August the 9th, 2012. It's the birthday of Pierre-Charles L'Enfant, the engineer and architect born in Annette, France in 1754. He left school when he was 22 years old in 1776, came to America to volunteer for the colonial army, served under General Washington at Valley Forge. He liked to sketch pictures of Washington and other soldiers. After the war, settled in New York City and began working as an architect and a civil engineer. In 1791, L'Enfant lobbied Washington for a job designing the new capital, which was to be built on the banks of the Potomac. It was Thomas Jefferson who provided L'Enfant with maps of several European cities, and L'Enfant studied those and then laid out a plan for the important capital buildings connected by broad avenues at diagonals, over which he laid a grid of rectangular blocks, which created a lot of triangles and circles and squares where he planned to put statues or monuments. And he envisioned a long public walk, which he called the Grand Avenue, which eventually became the National Mall. L'Enfant was very stubborn. He was committed to his own ideas, refused to listen to the city commissioners who were supposed to be overseeing him. Washington fired him in 1792, whereupon L'Enfant spent a few years trying to collect payment for his services. He thought the government owed him about $95,000. In the end, Congress paid him $4,000. But in time, even though it took a while, most of L'Enfant's original plans for Washington, D.C. were realized. It's the anniversary of the debut of the cartoon character Betty Boop, 1930, in a cartoon called Dizzy Dishes. Max Fleischer was the artist. He designed her as a dog, a French poodle, but eventually her floppy ears evolved into hoop earrings, and she became a sex symbol, a woman. She was pretty racy at the